Have you? S. See, S. Seen? There. A.
N. I. Animal. No, A N I M. A. T. Amateur. No, M A.
Animation.
Oh, the Zai.
Yes, Don't Go. It's really powerful. It's an anti-war piece. It's called Don't Go. It's, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or something.
So it's something online?
Do we have it up on our website, or is it just...
No, they have it on
their website. They have it on their website.
Well, I've got their site on my t-shirt.
Pardon?
It is on lover.org.
Lover.org. Mm. You can watch it from there, too. That's our, like, political... Can you T-A talk about what the C A M P camp
Casey?
Yes.
Camp Casey
was like?
Yeah.
What Camp Casey was like?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Hi. Well, it was, I went there, I think, on the 29th of August, and it was getting towards the end. I think I was there the day they had the huge amounts, the crowds there, like, you know, a few thousand people. I got there later that day. And it was great. It was really, I met a lot of really interesting people there. The Iraq Veterans Against the War, they were an interesting group, and it was really nice to talk to people. To see where they had changed their, at what point, because each of them had gone there with a certain plan or with a thought in mind, and at what point they had decided there was something wrong, they had to get out of this. And so that was really interesting meeting them, and I played some music there. But yeah, I think there was something about being right there that was... There was sort of interesting, you know, knowing that you were at the end of the gate, you know, the gate. It was just over the fence. There was helicopters coming and going.
How? One. P. How one person. Can. J. U. Jumpstart. A. Movement.
Yeah, she did. She did it quite well. I think she just had a very natural way of speaking, and that I think anyone can relate to. And the fact that she's a Gold Star mother, and I personally can't understand how anybody could criticize her. I've listened to Riley on TV, some of the things that they, Rush Limbaugh. Actually, I met a journalist there from the Brad blog show. He said that he'd heard Rush Limbaugh talk about her, and he just hopped in his vehicle, packed everything up, and moved his show over to there because he was just so angry that Rush Limbaugh could have done that, you know. I thought her question was a very good one, and it's sort of amazing that it hasn't been asked a long time ago by more people, because it is basic. What's the noble cause? Ben, we went to Washington, D.C. as well. We went to the events in there. Actually, three of us went, and we were at the... Two of the people in Bannon, where we came from, were actually amongst those arrested with Cindy at the White House. Unfortunately, it was suggested that we not get arrested because we're Canadians. And most of the people that were arrested more or less just paid the $50 and got processed and got out. But apparently, that's not the process if you're not American. So, but Cindy was, I think she was the first one arrested. Or no. Was she the first one arrested? Yeah. But that was pretty exciting, being at the White House and seeing all the snipers on the roof.
Is not the W O M woman F from the W E A Weavers, one of the people, one of the O, other O-R, organizers, no, original, W, O, women in black. Isn't the woman from the Weavers one of the original women in black? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know a lot about that.
Do you know who the Weavers are?
The band, the Weavers. Yeah, I've from years ago.
Ronnie Gilbert.
Yeah, Ronnie Gilbert. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm familiar with their music, but I didn't know that she was involved. A lot of the stuff. Like we all know, it isn't really in the main media. Right. So many things you,
yes.
Like you said, that you weren't aware that Cindy Sheehan had arranged this bus to go to Louisiana. There's
that is one A D advantage
of the station?
Or? Of the station. Yeah. Because we have access to all the alternative news, and because we have to have it on all the time.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
A lot of stuff.
Well, and there's more people that are turning to that. I find more and more all the time are looking for where they can turn to find out what's really going on, and getting away from mainstream TV and that sort of thing. But
Did you do MU music before the war?
I've done music since I was young. When I was in grade 2, the teacher couldn't really sing, and so when we sang "God Save the Queen," I led the class. And then she told my mother that I should enter the music and drama festival. And so I did that for several years and competed in that. And then when I was about 12 or 13, I started playing guitar and started playing coffee houses then. I was sort of, Joan Baez and Gordon Lightfoot were sort of my heroes. And so I started playing, actually the 12 string is what I play. I got onto that fairly early, and I've really never played a 6 string. But then a lot of people encouraged me to pursue it, but I felt if I hadn't written my own songs, I couldn't. So then I went into other fields. I was a nurse for several years, and then I went through medical school and became a doctor. But I've spent most of my life regretting that I hadn't done the music. And whenever I hear a female vocalist, I always sort of turn green with envy, thinking, oh, if only that is me. So then we started playing some music for the war in the rallies. My husband and I put together some of the old anti-war songs, and we played for the rallies and hadn't done that in years, and it was quite fun. And then... then we started, and Gary joined us after I'd written a few songs, and we did some events and concerts and that sort of thing, just kind of building the repertoire. But we We don't have too much shortage of songs now. I sort of walk around with a yellow pad all the time. it's kind of, I walk a lot, and so I often have people in Bannon stopping me and saying, what do you write on that pad? Or the other day somebody said, are you making your list and checking it twice? So
it's more like a prescription for a new song.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, I kind of... have all these songs, and then I sort of, the guys in the group have this joke that they're afraid to go to the bathroom because I might have written a new song by the time they're back. Kind of the joke. But I have about 110 songs. I mean, we kind of, a lot of them I've shelved, and then I shelve them for a while, and then we bring them out again some other time and when it seems like a better time for it, or so we're right now we're working on our third CD. We started recording it, and we did our second CD last summer, and we released it. And actually, I think it's done quite well. The folk stations play it a lot, and we've kind of gotten up on the charts there. They chart the Canadians in an international standings, and we've sort of been on their charts now for 20 weeks.
Wow.
On the folk station. So.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
What kind of D doctor were you, or are you?
I am. I've been a family doctor, and I more recently do geriatrics, so I look after Alzheimer's patients. Mostly is what I do, but I do
Erica
the music.
Works with old people too.
Oh, really? Oh.
She's the, you should tell them, she's the director of enrichment at a large retirement community in Oakland, the Claremont.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's the kind of places I work at, assisted living or nursing homes. But in the town I live in, the facility that I did work at closed, probably due to. Perhaps secondarily due to all of this, you know, with the cuts to Medicare, they could no longer stay open. And so there's really only one place that I work at now, but the music seems to fill a lot of the hours. writing music, getting ready to record it, and then trying to get airplay and get places to play and that sort of thing. So sort of more of a part-time job now.
The doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very part-time.
Yeah. How did you two meet, you and Ken?
My husband?
Yes.
Well, we met in northern British Columbia. I was a nurse at the time. He was a doctor, and he... I went out on a patient flight. We flew patients. We lived in a small town. We flew patients to bigger centers. So I went out on a plane, flying a patient there, and then on the flight on my way back, he was on the plane, and we sort of met there, and then the plane couldn't land because of snow and ice, and so it landed in another city, and then it's a very long story, and then it tried to take off and go to another place, but... And we ended up on a bus for about 7 hours. So we got to know each other quite well.
Wow.
Huh. Dawson Creek was the place that we were at. And we figured that everybody on the bus probably said that it wouldn't have been so bad except for those two. They talked all night. So by then we knew each other fairly well. And Ken did music as well. And so that was one of the things that I think we found as a common interest. We both played guitar,
why? O. Move to
the U.S.
The U.S.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to live by the ocean, and British.
But Vancouver.
Well, Vancouver, to live by the ocean in Vancouver, it's the most expensive place in Canada, you know, for a very tiny place. It's probably even more expensive than here because it's caught between an ocean and a mountain. So it's the land is very limited. So, yeah, Vancouver was out, and we tried for... The rest of the whole coastline is rugged. It's... We moved here about 10 years ago, and we actually lived by the ocean, and then everybody told us, you don't want to live by the ocean because it's so cold. The town we live in, we get cold winds all summer, so finally we listened to them, and now we live out in the country. So we've come all this way, and we still don't live by the ocean. So that's the song I wrote, you know, the song about the way you change.
Yeah.
And that's one of our changes.
Always. Us? Always changing? How? What are you thinking?
You have another change in mind here?
Getting? When? Can? Not? Oh, make plans? Because you know, right, the whole idea of making, even on a daily basis, really, I mean, it's like,
right.
So now we talk in terms of, well, it's possible that we might do this tomorrow because we know, you know, it's like, well, if you plan it, things are going, you're going to wake up and there's going to be all this other stuff that's going on. And so you have to kind of do that instead of do what you thought you were
right.
going to do.
So you might as
it's
well
better to just like
not make plans,
make them loose.
Yeah.
We make them loose.
Go with the flow.
Like
yeah.
L. Lover. What? The, well, the fact that we... You know, that level of flexibility when we decided, even though that was the last thing in our mind to get something that would take up more time because we do art stuff. So we were, you know, that kept us totally busy. We were putting out a magazine. We do performance art and music gigs ourselves. And Mikey does graphic design and Frank has students and, you know, plus we run a household and it's like, you know, we don't have time to run a radio station. But it was just like, you know, when it all lined up, it seemed like that's what we needed to do. So we kind of adjusted our lives. And lover really is a dominant force now. And we, T, H, thought. Well, Frank gave, I think he gave it a year or two because it was, it seemed like internet radio was going to be moved in by the big guys once they figured out that they could do that. So little guys like us, would they'd find a way to get rid of us by licensing or something. So I said, well, we'll do it for a year or two. And at that point, we would have, we'd bring our boom box in from the living room and sit it there on the file cabinet on Sundays. And then move it back after the show. And it was a slow transition. Oh, well, let's just leave the boom box there. And then it was like two boom boxes and three boom boxes. We didn't have a window anymore. Maybe we should get a shelf. It seems like we're still going. Three.
Right.
It was three. Well, we started three. We had three jukeboxes. No, 3 hours. Is that what you mean? When we first started, we would just do our show and the Tokyo show. And then, like... That was it. And then there'd be like, and then new shows kind of wanted to do it. And then it would, but then we'd always shut it off when we went to bed.
Oh, yeah.
And then one night we're getting ready to shut it off and some guy comes into the chat room, which we have mainly just for DJs and stuff, and goes, you know, why do you always have to shut it off? Because I'm working and I'm really getting into it and I'm planning on pulling an all-nighter and it's so frustrating that you always shut it off. Okay. And then that was it. And then it became 24 hours at that point.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the town that we're in, we have a peace group. We change our name quite frequently. We started off as the Bannon Peace Wave, and then we became the Bill of Rights, Bannon Bill of Rights Defense Committee. And then we call ourselves the Usual Suspects, and I don't know what other names, but... We kind of organize a lot of different things, and the thing that we're looking at right now is possibly starting up a small, radio station.
Yeah,
we have somebody who's offered a transmitter, so it goes 500 feet, or you can get a. So, anyways, we're just researching how you go about that, and so that's kind of exciting to because we don't really have any real. We can't get on the radio station in Bannon, and we can't get Amy Goodman or any of those shows. So.
Wow.
Apart from the internet.
Yes. You could, should, T, talk to Captain Fred, we could send you his email. He's the guy that kind of runs right now, I guess, the Berkeley's low bandwidth
community
station.
Yeah. Community station.
Yeah, and they're illegal. They existed way before the most recent thing where you could get licensing to be these low bandwidth stations.
Yeah.
And so I think part of the legislation is if you existed before, you're not eligible for a license.
Or you're not eligible. Oh.
And,
he should reinvent himself.
Yeah, I think they could do that. But I think, on the other hand, they're not that crazy about the whole licensing process the way it exists right now. But he's been doing it for a bunch of years, and he might have some tips for you.
Okay, yeah.
He certainly knows about the transmitter level and all the tech stuff. He could help you with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And the boosters. Is it? You get boosters, I think.
Yeah, we're not hip to that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he would know all that.
Yeah.
He is a DJ on Lover. You get several shows that start out on stations like that around the country, and then they either send us by email, or they just send us a tape or a CD in the mail, and then we give them a time slot.
Okay.
So he's one of those people.
Okay. I guess you sort of call that syndicated.
Right. That's right.
On a few different things.
So I think people have figured out that's the way to do it. You know, you just do your show, and then you just spread it out to as many places as you can.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's so nice to know that there's shows that aren't just playing the 30 songs or whatever. Like the station that we can get just in our cars is pretty much... You know, you have exactly, you know, that same group of top songs. And
we, before we started Lover, we have 8, how many songs do we have
about
in rotation?
84,000
songs in our rotation right now.
Wow, how do you pick?
We don't. We have, it's a random thing.
Yeah.
So we call it the mix.
Yeah.
When it's not like a show that, you know, another regular show, it's the mix, and it's...
Oh, right, okay.
It just makes it. So, like, your music would be in the mix, and it's it just randomly plays. So we have every possible genre, and so you might go from classical music to punk, and, you know, from P, E, and people are... giving us their music collections. That's kind of the latest wave. The last, 6 months, a year, all of a sudden we have all these, and it's all these different kinds of people. So we have like an ex-Black Panther giving us his entire music collection.
Oh, he was an ex-DJ, like? Or just a
He's just a guy into music, and he
got a lot
of music. So we get a lot of political hip-hop stuff from him, but also like everything else. So he's into jazz and reggae. He... does a couple shows on Lover, political shows, Slave Revolt Radio, and Radical Perspectives. But then we have a guy that was a DJ at KPFA and had an attic full of records that his wife kept saying he should get rid of.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get rid of them. And then one of the people that are part of our extended family is a handyman.
Oh, yeah.
So he goes on jobs and tells people about Lover, and this was one of his clients, and he goes, "Oh my God, I have all these records. Does Lover want them?" So, and that's, you know, so we got all his record collection, and it just keeps happening.
Yeah, I see the...
Yeah. This is just a fraction.
I'll bet. Yeah. Well, that's great.
And B, A, N, bands. We get a lot of mail, a lot of stuff in the mail. I don't know how many envelopes a week, a whole lot.
Oh, Brad, you're right, bands sending
stuff.
That
just sends stuff from all over the world.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
That's great.
Stuff in other way. Well, what is it? From all different countries, all different languages.
Well, there must be people listening from internationally.
Yes. And the people seem to really resonate with the, you know, when what Frank writes on the website about what Lover stands for. I think that's a lot of what people really want to be part of that and send their music.
And that's something that I think is growing as we follow the polls and the various sites where you read that kind of stuff. I think people really like to see alternates.
Yes.
The information and...
We will P you put this on Radio for All. It's a kind of a politically leaning website. And whenever we have
broadcasters.
Pardon me?
It's for broadcasters.
For us, where broadcasters go for content, Radio for All.
Oh, okay.
And so whenever we have a show that is in any way political, it goes up on there.
Oh,
then,
okay.
So we it might get replayed in, you know, a lot of people will pick it up and replay it, which we don't, I mean, they don't tell us about it. It just, you know, it happens. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
there was an article in Common Dreams recently. A woman wrote, I guess a Minneapolis paper, she wrote, you know, where have all the protest songs gone? And she wrote this whole article about how there really weren't any protest songs anymore, and I'm thinking, well, there are a lot of protest songs and there's songs that are political. It's just that with the regulations of the FCC, you know, with the way that's, you know, like Clear Channel can own 1,200 stations and all the stations put limitations on what's played, it just doesn't get out there unless you're looking for it. But if you follow the folk DJs, they, you know, there's a lot of political songs.
Before we did Lover, we stopped listening to the radio just for that very reason. It was like, it's so bad. And we thought, wow, is there no good music being made anymore? And then we started Lover, and we realized it's just what you were saying. It's not on the mainstream.
Right,
it's just there. Yeah. People are making it all G, all G-O, all good. Yeah, we play every. Yeah, all the music we get is really good. It is rare that we get something that we don't like.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it's because we're getting the stuff that are made by people that care about what they're doing. They're not, you know, in it to, like, get famous most
right,
of the
yeah,
time.
It's not a...
It's a passion thing.
It's right,
And
yeah.
so then it has that. It resonates that. And so no matter what it is, it's good, you know, because it's got that level of
it's
passion.
Not, like the big record companies, they just put it together, it seems. You know, a lot of it, too. For what'll sell.
Or yes. Frank said, like you. With passion.
Yeah.
S. So, what about the W-A-T, water. Tell us about the water in your community.
Well, there's been some big storms, and we're right on the water. And I guess there's a thing in the water treatment. The water table rose or something, and there's something that's as part of the thing that purifies the water that got broken, and so... We might be as long as 6 weeks without water.
Wow.
Or at least, you know, you can use the water, but you have to boil it for 10 minutes. And which, just when you say it, it doesn't sound like that big of a deal until you people start thinking about it. Well,
just
to boil the water, before,
water.
Before I brush my teeth and I have to do this.
Yeah.
And so we actually live out of town and we have a well, so... It hasn't really affected us, but it's certainly a political thing in Bandon.
It's interesting that the town we live in is being so polarized, more so to the right wing, that The trouble with their water system bothers them, but it doesn't matter that still 60% of people in Iraq don't have water that's drinkable.
You get that, the 60% of the people in Iraq don't have water that's drinkable right now. And
but it doesn't seem to bother them about that at this point. Mm.
Right. Don't make the connection.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't set up your clock. Are we doing okay on time, Mikey?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Six. What do you do? You're asking when you're not doing music?
Use the mic.
Yeah. I'm a contractor in Bandon. And fortunately, I also live out of town, so I don't have to deal with the hassles with the water. I have a well.
What? How did you get together, get into music? How did you get into music?
I always loved music. My aunt had a piano and a guitar, and she had an accordion. Well, I stayed away from the accordion. I heard too many things about them. But I would just sit at, you know, the piano for a long time, and then the guitar, and then I finally picked one up of my own. Well, actually, I would borrow them first, and then I picked one up in Mendocino, where we just had a gig. That was the place where I got my first guitar. So it was fun going back there and, you know, walking the streets. So I just started playing on my own and came up with some tunings that I thought were mine, that were original. But then I find out that they're, you know, tunings that other people play. So then I started doing some composition, and I have always liked collaboration. I've been with another group that was more low-key, a local group. And so I got together with some great musicians here, and it's a real privilege to play with Doug Jones there, who is really quite versatile on keyboards and guitar, and and Ken playing the bouzouki and getting some great sounds out of that, and Janet's songwriting abilities. So it's just a privilege to be in this group, and we're really quite compatible. And we love being on the road. I just gather up my frying pan and spatula, and we take off with our instruments.
Do you cook?
Oh, yes, sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I do cook. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I cook for the group when we're on the road.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. Mm. We've had some great meals.
I started cooking, and he gradually elbowed me out before I was taking over the whole thing.
Janet's the leader of the kitchen, or of the band, but I'm the leader of the kitchen. So.
F-O-O. Food is such an important part of touring, we find.
Oh, yeah.
The places when we've toured and not had, like, a good place to eat, ugh, terrible. So now we know if we're going someplace, we scope out the food first, so we don't have that first night of floundering, being hungry and not knowing where to eat.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You get tired of flounder.
Yeah.
Flounder, yeah. There's only so much you can do with it.
We need a Gary, a cook. Yeah, we don't have a resident cook when we travel, so we end up eating in restaurants.
Oh, there must be a lot of people out there though who would love the opportunity.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And you want to hear your story? How what does he do when? Is that it? Does his mic work?
Yeah,
your mic work.
Oh, my mic's on.
Yeah.
I'm a physical therapist when I'm not playing music.
Oh, wow. Physical therapist. Frank has a lot to say about physical therapy. In fact, S-E-E-C. O, U, our tea out of isolation. Oh, Frank, one of our movies is out on our website. It's called Out of Isolation, and it's about a person who's been institutionalized his whole life, played by Frank. And they think that he doesn't know what's going on, that he's retarded, but he's not. But he's an adult, and he's completely withdrawn because there's never been anything in his environment to stimulate him. And no one's tried to communicate with him. And this kind of comes from when Frank was born. The doctors told his mother that she should just have him put in an institution because he had no mental capabilities. And his mom said, when I look in his eyes, that's not what I see. And so she really had to fight the system all through his childhood. Because at every step of the way, they're trying to, you know, confine Frank. And so anyway, he makes this movie. And then there's a physical therapist who comes in, a young woman who's kind of new at it and gung-ho and is really going to try to get something going with this guy. It's about the relationship that develops. It's called Out of Isolation because she's as much isolated as his character.
Sounds like a great film. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I C E ice. Well, one of the things that had happened in Frank's childhood was there was a thing where they would rub ice on his limbs and then take a brush and do this, so he made sure we had that in the movie. He was like totally black and blue by the time we finished shooting this movie.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Because we did it like over, it was a 3 or 4 day period. Just every day we got up, we shot it from beginning to end, and then used the...
So you had to keep doing those takes of the brushing and the ice. And
every day, yeah. And... Yeah. B, he was B-E, and bending, because part of the thing is that she, if there's a point where she, well, he's resisting things, and so she's kind of pulling on his arm, and he's pulling back.
Stretching.
And, yeah, and he won't do it, so there's all that kind of physical stuff. So he just like was a mess at the end of that. Black and blue
and stiff. Well, that sounds, that'd be fun for me to see that film.
Yeah.
Out of Isolation.
Out of Isolation, yeah. And it's on our website under the Intimate Theater.
Mm. All right.
Yeah. What kind of physical therapy do you do?
I work in an acute care hospital, so I see people who are in the hospital because they've been injured or they've had some kind of catastrophic illness. Or a surgery, perhaps, and my job is to get them able to move and get out of there, get back about their lives as quickly as possible.
How did you get into music?
Well, when I was a kid, I went to a summer camp where they taught music to kids. And I went there a few years as one of the kids learning music, and then I went there for lots of years after that as one of the help around the place. And when I was one of the help, when I got my chores done, I could play whatever instrument wasn't being played that week in the orchestra or the band. And so learned a lot of music just kind of hanging around the summer camp. Always loved music. I think two things were already mentioned that drew me to music. One was passion, and the passionate aspect of that, being able to communicate something in a passionate way, and then food. And so I'll always play if I get food for it.
Yes. A, if you are L, you lucky. If you're lucky, you get food for a gig.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Always feel fortunate to get food for a gig.
Yeah. G?
Well, we've got some chocolate balls right
there.
Yeah,
we do. Are you ready for one? Barley malt. 2 D O doctors A physical therapist A contractor A C O O a cook what M O what more do you need? What more do you need for touring? You're really covered on all.
A percussionist. That's
a percussionist.
Yeah.
Do the dishes.
A percussionist who does
yes,
the dishes.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, somebody to fix the vehicle.
Oh.
Ken does.
Oh.
He fixes everything.
Nice. We. F, G, E, E, grew, we grew, O, L, oh, we grew old, right, right. Touring has definitely gotten more like you have to stay at a certain place. We don't lift Frank up and down stairs anymore. We rent a hospital bed because that's where he's more comfortable, so it's, you know, it's a whole different thing. Before, we go, oh, yeah, put us up, we'll sleep on the floor, no problem. Now it's like you got to stay at a hotel that will let you rent a hospital bed. And, you know, so it's really changed.
It's changed. Yeah.
And Y, R, M, oh, most of the places we perform in are up flights of stairs. Mm. Right. I don't know, up flights of stairs. Mm. I don't know if you have the same experience. But we play in a lot of, like, punk clubs and rock clubs and stuff, and I'd say, like, 90% of them are up flights of stairs. So that's always, you know, gathering enough band members around to get Frank up and down the stairs. Oh. I hope they're sober enough to do it at the end of the night.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Gee, yes. Hard enough to haul our guitars.
Right. Yeah.
We have we travel with we have an RV that we travel with.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
So you cook in the RV?
Yeah. So then we don't have to worry
very
about
handy
accommodation and hotels and stuff.
That's
like that.
We have toyed with the idea of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it works out.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
And all the equipment, very really, nice. It's sort of, you know, it's hard to fit 4 people and
right,
all the equipment.
Absolutely.
In
we end up
vehicle
taking more than one car, always.
Right. So yeah. So this way we can all fit in the vehicle and our stuff can fit in the RV,
right,
in the right, the fifth wheel that we haul.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we get a hospital bed in an RV, do you think?
I think we'd have to tow it.
Tow the hospital bed.
Yeah. Be quite a ride.
Well, you might
not what you have in mind. D.
You might have to renovate a little.
That's what we thought. If we did it, you'd have to renovate it. You'd right have to get it set up so Frank could use it.
Right.
But there's probably like organizations
probably
that do stuff
I'm
like
sure
that
do
by now.
Yeah.
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 It would probably be easier than finding hotels and finding a place to eat and
yeah
all those things.
Yeah. And if A R O L roll in shower. That's the other thing that we require in our roll in shower. Since we can't lift Frank in and out of a tub anymore, you know, as the years have gone by, can't do that anymore. So we have this lift system here that
yeah
we use that gets Frank in and out of the bathtub. So we can, you know, so that really limits where you
right
can stay.
Yeah. 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 That would make it harder.
O, U, our, S, H, O, show, is, on, every, night, on BTV. So Frank has a couple shows on Berkeley's cable. public access cable. And this will play on his one show called Unlimited Possibilities. And it goes when it plays first run, it will play three nights that week. It plays on a Monday, a Thursday, and a Saturday night. And then now they play repeats of that show seven nights a week. So so you would be then part of a rotation of, I think we're into our like 200 shows now that are on. So then every 200 days, this show would play again during the night. S? O. So, we, W, A, watch, O, our, S, ourself, A, oh, aging. Well, right, because this show, when we started the cable show, it was an opportunity to get, we had a closet full of videotapes from the 30 years that we've been performing that we made them, and they just went in the closet. Frank made a bunch of movies, like in the 70s and 80s, just in the closet. And we started this show. Hey, let's play them on TV. And so that's when we're like 30 years younger, and then we have everything between now and then and now on. I, A, U, S, used to. I used to. L, I, lift. Oh, that's one of the things we watched recently. It was a performance we did at UC San Diego. This was in the mid-80s, and it required Frank getting down on the floor. I walk over, take the board off, take the pointer off, pick Frank up, walk across the room, lay him on the floor. It's like I'm like picking up a bag, like a jar or something. Oh, my God, did we ever do that? Now it's like with two of us lifting, it's hard. So you get to watch, you know, and be reminded of how things are changing all the time.
Right, yeah.
It's like a constant reminder. And I don't get on the ground on the floor anymore. Right, we don't do that anymore. Yeah. He stays in his chair.
Once you're there, yeah, it must be hard.
That's the floor. Right.
So no more floor shows.
No more floor shows. Exactly. M, A, T, Matt. That used to be a part of our, what we used all the time was we'd bring a blow-up mat, and there was a segment of the, we do like kind of ritual type performances that would involve Frank being on the mat. And I don't know. It was just one time we realized it was really too hard to do.
Yeah.
And that was the end of the mat segment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then too hard to get back up.
Yeah. Yeah, much harder to get back up.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to ask Ken anything about how he got into music? Before... He has not talked, right? He have you, has he? Not really, no. And even before the show, he was bragging about how much he talks.
Good point. Yeah.
That's why I'm being silent over here. Once started, it's hard to shut me up.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you did it.
We did it.
I'm started.
Settle back, everybody.
I got into music again many years ago in high school and what times I could fit in between studies, but it's been a wonderful thing getting together with Janet's music, just starting at the beginning of this war. It was tough to get a message out there. And music is a wonderful way still to get messages out there, though I think there's those that don't believe that. I really do. And to have fallen into league with this wonderful group of musicians. The only downside is that these three played wonderful guitars, and that's all I played. So I was forced to kind of withdraw from society a little bit and start to play the banjo. And nobody talked to me for a while after that, but
we all move away from him.
All moved away from the banjo.
Away from the banjo.
Banjo's an automatic weapon. So you got to watch out.
Then we discovered the bouzouki about 6 months ago.
Why banjos and automatic weapons? Or why banjos? Why banjos and automatic weapons?
There are a lot of jokes about the banjo. I think Ken knows most of them. But in the wrong hands, it could be dangerous to your ears.
Oh, in the wrong hands, it could be dangerous to your ears.
It's such a nice contrast to the world of medicine, as you're alluding to earlier. The medicine has become really big pharmaceutical companies and driven more by law than by compassion. And physicians as a group are very insecure people that don't know how to communicate with each other well. And so we drift slowly apart from that community. And we meet people like Doug, who's in the paramedical professions, who's a wonderful guy and a good musician. And we draw more towards musicians. Because there's more of a message, and people are more willing as musicians to stand up and actually say something about the world. Physicians in our town, anyways, very few were able to have the courage to stand up for fear that there might be retribution, like someone would not come and see them.
Wow.
Which was very sad. See what I mean? I just don't stop talking.
Why?
Well, we had patients that left our practice, but we had just as many who decided that they wanted to join our practice because of our views.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what happens.
Right.
It's just you take that risk, and then that's what happens.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of business people in the town that we live in who have come up to us and said, "I'm so glad that you're protesting the war and doing what you're. I can't do it, but I want to support you."
Wow.
But that's a lot of business people are afraid, especially in a small community, are afraid that people won't come to their business or whatever. But I don't know. I think that it attracts as many people.
Yes.
But I think it's quite different, the politics in a small town than in a big city.
That is S-C-A. Scary that people feel that way, that they want to protest but they don't feel like they can.
Yeah, it's a very frightening thing for them, which is I agree, very sad.
That would explain it sometimes when you think, why aren't more people saying how bad it is to have the war? And that kind of explains it, that they're afraid to speak out.
It's a fear,
yeah.
Fear of financial retribution or fear of social retribution. People
being ostracized from their circle.
Yeah. What? When? H. E. Helms investigated you? Oh, the way we got bookings or about the other artists? Which aspect of it? A. A lot of artists said S. I signed, that like loyalty oath thing. It was the right around the time, this is the early 90s when Frank was investigated by Helms. The NEA added this like kind of loyalty oath thing, so that if you got money from the NEA, you had to sign this thing that said that you wouldn't offend anyone in any way, implicitly, explicitly, and a lot of people signed it. They thought it was outrageous, but they signed it so they could get their NEA fund.
Mr. McCarthy.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of funny that they had to sign something so offensive.
One time at the kitchen I S O signed. It was, well, we were showing that movie Out of Isolation. We got booked to show it. It's in New York City, and it was kind of like a place that people want to get their movies, play like an art thing. And so they were going to play Out of Isolation. But it was a place that wouldn't book Frank as a performer, even though the guy who ran the place, when he was curating an event in another city, he picked Frank, highly recommended Frank. And when somebody confronted him, another artist, and said, well, why won't you book Frank at your club? He said, well, I think what Frank is doing is very important. I'm just personally uncomfortable with it. So I'm okay booking him here because I leave after I, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, so that's the place then that that lines up showing Out of Isolation. And so we were going to New York to be there. You know, you get up and you talk to everybody before they show it and then answer questions. But they, Kay, kept calling. Because this was booked like, you know, 6 months in advance or something. And as the time approached to go to New York, we kept getting calls from the guy that had booked us. He wanted to, he said, they want to make sure that you're not doing a performance. So Frank said, well, that's one way to get me to do a performance, because we thought we were just going to show the movie, you know, and then you talk about it. But all of a sudden, there's like, I mean, really weekly, we were getting phone calls from this guy. And so, and then we get to New York, and we're at somebody's house for dinner, a local person, and they say, oh, I see you're showing your movie at the kitchen. Here's the mailer they sent out. And they had asked Frank to write something to put on their schedule, which he did. But what they wrote is, they didn't write what Frank gave them. They wrote, it's about a handicapped man and about how it is to be handicapped. Which it wasn't what it was about at all. And Frank's like, you know. And so we get to the place to show the movie, and the guy comes up to Frank that booked us, and he said, they want you to sign the agreement that we have performers sign, even though you're just showing a movie, before we can show the movie. There, four, P-A. Four pages, and it was ridiculous. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was in detail how you won't do anything, really. You can't offend anybody. You can't do this, that, all this stuff. Like, we thought, how could you possibly sign something like this? It just seemed crazy. A, S, so, I signed it. S, I said, I will sign it. But I will break every single thing in this thing during the time I'm showing my movie. Yeah, I promise you. Two, M, I, 2 minutes. You did it in 2 minutes. Well, because and then like the guy is like really nervous and. So then this, you know, a room full of people, and it has this all kind of foo-foo-foo kind of vibe to it. And it's like, now we'd like to introduce the audience. Frank goes up to the front, and I'm there reading his board, and he said, you know, everybody's hanging on his every word. He goes, I must be a really bad actor. He said, because I play the lead in the part. And originally... Let's see, I'm fitting the beginning part of the story. I tried, I-S-E-E-I-C, the W-R, I saw the write-up that they did, and that's all wrong. I must be a really bad actor because they totally wrote the wrong synopsis for the movie. I tried. It is, oh, it's about a interracial relationship. And you know, and what happens in that interracial relationship. And he said, and I tried to cast a black man in the role, but I wasn't able to, so I play the nigger in the movie.
Oh, no. Oh, Frank.
Okay, that was the first one.
All right, yeah.
It was just like everything got really heavy. It was, okay, roll it. And it, you know, the whole thing changed at that point, and that was, you know, Frank felt good about it at that point.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So it seems like maybe you would want to give your website and all any information you want people to know.
Oh, the website is janetbates.com. Yeah. It's fairly straightforward. And it's kind of an interesting website in that we have a medley of all the songs from our CD as well as a slideshow. So there's a slideshow of us playing while the medley plays. And we also have some of the newer songs, previews, that haven't been formally recorded, but I like to put them up there so somebody can hear them. Yeah. And we've been, I guess we're coming back, we're down into this area next June. We're playing in Mendocino in Headlands in June. Mm. Is there anything
Emma.
Else I should say?
Emma.
Yeah.
You? Can P play the O other H A half of your set then, if you'd like? When, next time you're in this area, let us know, and we could have you back to play the other half of your set. And all the new songs you write.
Right, yeah, who knows what will happen between now and then.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
There's never a shortage of material.
Right. Okay, is that it? Okay, so bye-bye, everyone. Wow, that was great. Yeah.
Just nice. It would be nice by the time we come back again that there's just a crumbling of the forces up there, the present administration and all of this.
Yeah,
to really. Come back to some reality again.
It is S-T starting to crack.
Yeah.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, there's just large cracks that are forming.
Yeah.
The poles are less.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Yeah, really.
We actually are caffeine.